The Fan on Demand. Proof that if you hang around our studios long enough,
listen to me, listen,
anyone can get their own show.
Amazing, isn't it?
The Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
So enough of the Leafs. God, I haven't heard that song for a while. But do you have any Bronski beat floating around? Mike Wilner joins me.
Don't knock Johnny Baltimore.
Oh, the Bronski beat is... you've got to have Bronski beat in there, right? People are going, what the hell's the Bronski? Do you know the Bronski beat?
Small town boy.
Attaboy.
Leave in the morning with everything you own in a little black case.
Wow. That is the... those are the dulcet tones. Dulcet is a word, right?
More dulcet than usual. I apologize for the sore throat.
Mike Wilner, of course, beginning. And, you know, the one thing that you do learn about radio stations around Christmas, and Mike, you were the first one to alert me to this.
Yep.
You know how it's Christmas time? Tell us, Mike.
The more Jews you hear on the air, the closer it is to Christmas time.
That's right, because all the Christians are like in the shopping centers.
I used to work down the road, or down up the dial, which is across the hall here, Christmas Day, there were seven of us, and we basically worked all day. It was, I don't want to get in trouble.
No, it's true, though.
But back here in the old days, it would be me and Jason Magder, Norm Rumack, Berger, those kinds of things. That's the way. And now we have the year in review, which is fantastic. It's a wonderful program. But I'll still be covering you next week.
Whoa, pardon me.
Your shift. And Greg Brady one day. And,
you'll be covering me. Well,
I will be. That's what we do. I get three hosting gigs next week.
That's pretty good. Three hosting gigs, and you know, you will be justly rewarded, I'm sure.
How's that exactly?
This is Mike Wilner, of course, the third man in the booth. We got to come up with another title because third man in the booth just, you know. Anyhow, third man in the booth, Fan 590 baseball reporter. You know, guru, all sorts of good stuff like that. I'm trying to come down from my Leaf high. You'll have to excuse me.
I heard you talking about the Maple Leafs, and well, you know, it's funny because...
You'll do that next week.
No, I won't.
Oh, yeah, you will.
There will be no Leaf talk in
there'll be a crisis.
Six and a half hours that I'm hosting next week.
No, there'll be a crisis.
Here's the thing, and I hear from a lot of Blue Jay fans who are upset because they feel as though there's a window opening with the Yankees failing to sign anybody and with the Tampa Bay Rays losing a bunch of players, that there's a window so that Alex Anthopoulos ought to accelerate his plan in order to make the Blue Jays contenders in 2011. Have they not watched Brian Burke? Brian Colangelo? There are issues with accelerating your plan, and more often than not, I would say, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I would think... I'm kind of a believer in following through with your plans, and so is our guest, Alex Anthopoulos, is, of course, the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Alex, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. I know as a first-time father, you are really discovering what Christmas is about, aren't you?
Absolutely, and you know what? Our daughter's starting to sleep a lot better, but just now it's, you know, during the holidays, I run around all over the place and having to actually... Drove back to Montreal to see family, and having to have your three-month-old in a car for 5 hours and change and sleep somewhere else. And then we got to go to Quebec City to see more family. It's fun because everybody gets to give her a world of love and stuff, but it's not easy at all.
Change is the operative word. And, you know, I got to tell you, I spent a night at the winter meetings. I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this. After we had our daughter, I spent a night at the winter meetings because they were in Nashville. I had to find a robot that spoke. It was like one of those leapfrog or whatever, one of those learning things. So I basically rented a car and drove around to Walmart and Target stores in Nashville for roughly 5 hours to find, which was apparently, I found out later, the hottest toy in the market because of my daughter. And I got it.
Well done.
5 hours into the search, I got the robot.
For us, it's the one thing is that she doesn't have a clue what she's going to get, and so we're actually going to get away with that. But my wife's definitely looking for certain things for family and friends and everything else, and just moving around a young child, packing a car. Holy smokes.
Oh, I know. And it's winter. And it's winter where you're going.
And we have a little, tiny little thing that you're packing the world, and you're only going for 3 or 4 days. So, but otherwise, it's been good experience. My aunt, who's an old 81-year-old Greek lady, she remarked to me last night. She goes, "You sleep with your BlackBerry," because she doesn't understand what it is. But she's starting to I think she's starting to understand what I do for a living. She doesn't get it entirely, but she realizes that I'm on my BlackBerry a lot.
I got to tell you, and this brings back memories to me, and maybe this will happen to you in 3 months as well, Alex. But spring training 2002, my wife and I did the drive from here to Florida with a 6-month-old. So that was a lot. Right, and packing for 6 weeks of spring training with the baby as well. That's a blast. Hopefully you'll get to do that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he can tell. Has this off-season, has it been a good off-season for you? And the reason I'll ask you that is, of course, there's Mike made the point at the start of the show, and I don't know if you heard him. I think a lot of people saw the New York Yankees have difficulty replacing players, saw the Yankees get shut out, I guess we could say, in some regards, and the thought was instantly, okay, the magic window of opportunity is now open. What does Alex do to get the Blue Jays through there? Then people find out that Zach Greinke's pitching for the Brewers.
Yeah, and I understand it completely. Our fan base is excited, rightfully so, relative to what the prognostications were and the expectations really were going into last year. Not only did we win 85 games, but there was some exciting games, and it was on the backs of a lot of young players that have a chance to be here for a long time. So, and I also understand with all the talk of the Yankees going after Cliff Lee and so on, with the Rays obviously losing some of their free agents, and I definitely understand at the same boat, hey, these teams got weaker and so on. There's no question Tampa lost some very good players. I think one thing that's talked about that doesn't get acknowledged enough is people talk like the Yankees lost Cliff Lee as if he was on the team. They won 95 games, and Cliff Lee was not on that team. At this stage, though, they've lost a big piece in Andy Pettit. But that's really the only piece that they lost. Certainly they had guys like Berkman. They got him at the trade deadline, and Kerry Wood. I think those holes are easier to fill. But this was a 95-win team with guys like Burnett not having a great year, and you would think he's certainly better than he showed. But again, Andy Pettit right now is truly their sole loss, and you would think there might be some internal improvement there. But all that being said, I understand it. But again, our goal, and it's always been this way, is to not be built. There's a small window. It's a year or two. Well, the window, there isn't going to be a window if we do this thing right. The window is going to be never-ending. It's going to get to the point where Boston has a constant opportunity to win every single year. They have to retool and make some changes. But they feel like they're competing for the World Series every single year. The Yankees are the same way. They feel that they're competing for the World Series every single year. The challenges we have, we need to get to that point. The payroll level won't get up to New York. But if we can build the club and be competitive year in and year out, can we get to the Cubs, the Anaheims? Now Boston, with the way they've jumped up, that might be a little bit high. But certainly we have to. We can end up doing that because of the upside of the market. But we have to make sure that we build a club currently that's going to be set up to win for an extended period, not for a 2 or 3 year period. And hopefully what will follow suit is attendance is going to rise, revenues are going to rise, and as a result, payroll is going to climb with that. And if an opportunity presents itself come July or something like that, we've been assured by ownership that we'll have the money to be able to go out and get that player to put us over the top.
The funny thing is, before we got to the Don and Swalfin down there in Orlando, people were saying, they weren't talking about a window closing on the Yankees. They were talking about that window closing on the Red Sox. And the way I saw it put online by one of the commenters in the blogs was that you're not looking for a window. You want to break down a door. And that seems to be exactly what you, what you're saying hasn't changed since the day you took the job, but you're not looking for little windows here and there.
Exactly. And if we were, it's all relative. When I took this job, obviously I'd been in the organization a long time, and I think any time you get a GM job, you have to look at the market, you have to look at the ownership, you have to look at the upside. So we look at the division, we look at the challenges, the teams that we face, the front offices, and then we look at the upside of the market. I mean, you look at teams like Tampa. They've done a great job, and they've won the American League East 2 of the last 3 years. But they've clearly seen that their ceiling and their upside with respect to attendance and so on, it is what it is, and they're forced to make tough financial determinations and having to keep their payroll at a certain amount because obviously, you know, I don't think any owner is willing to lose a boatload of money. I mean, I think a lot of ownership groups have shown a willingness to lose some money, and that's fair. So, but if we had had the type of success that the Rays have had with the upside of Canada, Rogers, the market that we're in, you know, Toronto and so on, you start adding all that up, I think we would have been drawing 3 million fans. We'd be like the Brewers that, you know, we're at 1.5 million or 1.8 million fans and made the playoffs, started winning, and now they're close to 3 million fans a year. We have that type of upside. The key is getting to that point so we can tap into that upside. I mean, it's clear that there's very few markets where you just open the doors and the place is full. And, you know, ours is a market, and it's fine, and I'm totally accepting of it, and it's just the way sports is, that we need to get to the point that we're winning year in and year out, and I think the fans will ultimately turn up, and then everything will climb accordingly. Revenues will climb, payroll will climb, but we need to make sure we can't try to take a shortcut, try to have a quick fix, and then a year or 2 years from now, we need to tear it back down again and start the process all over again. So it's all about tapping into the upside, to the market that we have, with the ownership group that we have, and this place can be a powerhouse.
Alex Anthopoulos joins us in the Fan 590. Alex, I know you've been asked about this, but Zach Greinke, a lot of the national reporters in the States had you guys, well, a couple of guys sort of suggested you guys were quote-unquote finalists for it, for Greinke. He just wouldn't, at the end of the day, he wouldn't waive his no-trade clause. Is that
correct?
That's basically right, isn't it?
Yeah,
and the process didn't get as far as, frankly, a lot of us thought it did.
Yeah, and no, I think it's, and you know what, and it's, you know, part of it is, again, because we don't deny trades or rumors or things like that.
Right.
You know, people can run with them, and I understand, but I guess I felt like as things started to evolve, I mean, things started to leak, little things like he had a no-trade to us and so on, and, you know, I talked, obviously, just like anything else, I had called Dayton Moore early in the offseason before he had even listed his new no-trade teams, and we had agreed that we would talk, and I think we certainly had the pieces and the players. I know that the Royals like a lot of our young players, as do a lot of other clubs do, and that's obviously a credit to the scouts and the player development staff. But, you know, Dayton and I spoke, and it was really one of those things that, hey, let's, rather than even trying to engage, why engage and go back and forth with dialogue and names if ultimately it's not going to get anywhere? Let's make sure that the player is willing to come here. And, you know, my understanding was he was going to review teams that were on his no-trade list. That was going to be the focus for Dayton. And, you know, getting other information from other channels, you know, I had been told that there was a strong desire on the player's part to pitch in the National League and also have a chance to hit. He's a very good athlete. He's a two-way player out of the draft. So there was a lot of appeal to him. So it was a lot of similarities to the Halladay scenario because, you know, Halladay, I didn't want to take too many GMs down the path. I didn't want to engage in dialogue if he wasn't willing to go there. And I only would engage those teams that I felt had a legitimate chance that the player was open-minded to going to. And I think Dayton, I give him all the credit in the world, was very honest, very open. He's a class act, and he's great to deal with because he didn't waste anybody's time, and he really focused on the teams that the player was willing to go to.
Alex, before I let you go very quickly, what do you need to add right now? If you had a shopping list, what would that be?
Well, we would still like to add someone to pitch the ninth inning. I mean, that's something that we're still exploring some things free agent-wise. We're still having some talks with teams with respect to trades. There's options out there, just the price right now, whether it's, you know, contract length, dollars, or trade, just isn't lining up for us. But there's some things we continue to work on, and that's probably the number one thing we have on our plate. Now, there's other small areas, and we're always going to look to improve in terms of getting long-term core pieces where we can.
Alex, we're going to let you run. Thanks so much for joining us. Merry Christmas and the best to you and yours.
All right, guys. Have a great holiday.
Thank you. Safe travels. That is Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Blue Jays. We're going to take your calls, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Mike Wilner's here. He's going to be with me for the rest of the hour. You heard Alex Anthopoulos. Jays were not in, and Zach Greinke. But we've got a lot to talk about with the Jays in baseball. Give us a call. We are here for you. Wilner's not going anywhere, apparently, for the next 2 weeks, other than this room.
Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Rumors spreading around in that Texas town about the Shaq outside the game.
Sorry, but I just got to let the song roll a bit.
Just let me know if you want to go.
Just the part, the Have Mercy part's
do
awesome.
Oh, my God. Rains. They got a lot of nice girls.
Have mercy. When Bryn Smith was pitching for the Montreal Expos, I got to meet ZZ Top at the Gentlemen's Club in Houston. The Gentlemen's Club is a dance. It's a ballet. It's a dance hall, and we had gone out there for dinner, and there was myself and Expos trainer and a certain reporter with the Toronto Star who was working for the Expos at the time, I believe. Anyhow, we went out, and Bryn Smith was there, and apparently he knew the guys from ZZ Top, so they were sitting at a table at this dance hall. So I got to meet the guys from ZZ Top.
Was Bryn in competition with them about the beards?
It was pretty close.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
I can see that's why ZZ Top might be interested in Bryn Smith.
That was pretty good. They're... look, there's ZZ Top. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Mike Wilner, the third man in the booth, the Blue Jays broadcast.
We'll come up with something better than that.
Oh, I know.
Blue Jays beat reporter.
Yeah, Blue Jays beat reporter.
Post-game show host.
Blue Jays guy at the Fan 590 is here. We just had an interview with Alex Anthopoulos, who took time out from...
Blogist?
No, Alex isn't a blogger. Oh, you're a bloggist. You're a bloggist. That's right. Took time out to talk to us from Quebec, where, he's doing the Christmas thing, and as we were talking about, is a first-time father. Man, he's really learning what Christmas is all about. And I mean that, honestly.
And that's even before the baby can talk. I mean, she can't ask for gifts. She's not excited about
Christmas. She's at the stage right now where, I didn't want to tell Alex this, and I know he's not listening, so I'll say it now. But you know what? I mean, she's just going to be playing with the wrapping paper.
If she can even do that. I mean, she's 3 months old. So, you know, who knows? But for him being out there now in Quebec, it's just all about time demands, his family. Everybody wants to see the baby. Everybody, you know, and it might be a little bit of a break for him.
I hope so. This is a guy who, by the way, this is a guy who answered a call that I left at his office during his honeymoon. I'd forgotten that he was on his honeymoon. Anyhow, that's Alex Anthopoulos. We talked to him about Zach Greinke, Mike Wilner, and let's just clear this up, because there is this perception out there that somehow the Kansas City Royals and Toronto Blue Jays got to the point where they were discussing names moving from the Jays to the Royals for Zach Greinke. False.
Not even remotely close to true. Not even remotely close to true. And you know, the thing with Alex is that he doesn't confirm or deny anything, right? He will, and that gives rumor mongers and even agents cause to include the Blue Jays in any possible rumor that they're coming up with. And what happened was Zach Greinke's available. Therefore, people begin to think, well, the Blue Jays, we know they're interested in any good young centerpiece talents. So, what would the Blue Jays have to give up? Well, they've got Kyle Drabik, they've got Travis Snyder. Why wouldn't it be those guys? And that's where the stories come from. Alex never says anything. And as he just said to us, and he said to both of us off the air, you know, before even the winter meetings, there's no way Kyle Drabik and Travis Snyder are being traded for Zach Greinke. But what we just found out on the air, too, and what you had written, was they weren't even engaged, because Zach Greinke wasn't going to waive his no-trade clause. And a lot of the time, even before we got to Orlando, the story said, well, yeah, he'd waive it to go to Toronto.
And I had somebody with Brewers tell me the other day that as far as they know, there was absolutely no American League team that even got to, you know, step one with Kansas City, because Greinke, wisely so, for a guy who is 2 years away from free agency, they thought, you know, I want to go to the National League. And apparently, he had basically eliminated American League teams right from the start. So all the talk about Kansas City or even or California or even the Yankees wasn't there. We got a caller, John in Toronto. You're on the Fan 590 with Mike Wilner and Jeff Blair.
Hey guys, a few things. So first of all, I'm on the Zach Greinke thing. This is just my opinion.
Yep.
I personally would not trade Kyle Drabik for Zach Greinke, and the reason is he's 2 years away from becoming a free agent, and even if he's really that good and stuff, the Blue Jays are not going to be any good for the next 2 years, and there's no point of having a guy that's making all that money ain't going to walk in a couple of years.
Well, I don't think there's any point. If you're basically reacquiring Roy Halladay, there's no point. I'm not entirely certain the Jays aren't going to be any good for 2 years, but I do get your point. I mean, essentially, if you trade for Zach Greinke and you don't negotiate an extension with him, you're basically getting Roy Halladay.
Right, and I think, but I think that a lot of the underlyingness in all, and we know it's all crap because Zach Greinke was never coming here no matter what, but I think a lot of the underlyingness in all the things that people were talking about this Greinke to Toronto stuff, was the assumption that the Blue Jays wouldn't trade for him unless they could sign him to an extension.
Yeah, and at the same time, I mean, I'm with the caller. You know, I may be off base with Kyle Drabek. It would not be the first time. I mean, I remember writing that I thought Javier Vasquez was going to win a Cy Young Award sometime because I was so... When Pedro Martinez told me...
He should have won it last year.
Yeah.
2009. He should have won it in 2009.
Yeah, when Pedro Martinez told me he had the best changeup he's ever seen, I thought that was good enough for me. But I will say this about Kyle Drabek, because I've covered the Expos a lot. I've been around teams that have brought up young pitching, and takes a lot for me to really be impressed with a guy, with a young pitcher. And Kyle Drabek impresses me on the field, but also, you know, off the field. And I'm not talking about all this chemistry stuff. I'm just saying a guy that I look at and I go, wow, I can see this guy as a major leaguer. Absolutely does. He's got an edge to him. It's not a cockiness. It's not an arrogance. It's an edge.
He knows he belongs.
He knows he belongs.
And not a lot of guys can say that, especially at 21, 22. But the thing with him is, you know, we know he's got the big league fastball, and he's got a major league curveball. There's no question about it, and he can get guys out. What I found interesting in talking to him was the way he talked about his first start and about how, you know, he did have a little bit of trouble focusing, and he was excited, and his heart was pounding and all that. You couldn't see that at all on the field.
No.
The results from that start were fine. He didn't look out of sorts. He said all kinds of crazy things were going through his head.
Yeah.
None of it.
It didn't appear in the field.
None of it.
You know, and anybody, I mean, I covered his dad a fair amount.
I didn't.
You're
old.
I am old. I covered his dad a fair amount. His dad was one of my favorite pitchers to deal with and to watch as a visiting guy coming into Montreal. And there's a lot of similarities. And that's all to the good. Matt in Waterloo, you're on the Fan 590.
Hi, guys. Sorry I missed the interview with Alex, and I'll apologize if I have any redundancy.
You can probably, I mean, they'll probably have it up on the fan590.com.
I'll be all over it.
Yes.
You know, I'm okay with them not being in the Greinke sweepstakes, so to speak, especially given the prospects of Drabek and Snyder. Spidey sense tells me that Snyder is going to have a big year. I just thought that would have been fraught with risk. The thing that I don't know yet is, and maybe Alex said it in the interview, is the plan 2012? And if so, then yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being patient in the building process. He's built up a lot of equity with a lot of fans, I think, in the moves he's made so far. But there's still a lot of unanswered about next year. I mean, who's playing third base? Who's playing second base? Who's the closer? When do those answers start to formulate?
I can give them to you right now.
Yeah.
Well, two of them anyway. Jose Bautista is playing third base. Aaron Hill's playing second base.
See, I'm not... I disagree with you in third base. I remain to be... I can see him doing it, but I'm
99.44% sure.
Well, I'm only 90% sure that Bautista is going to be third. Aaron Hill, I mean, that he'll be at second base, I would think, because I just think that's the way it's going. I don't see a second baseman out there that would... I mean, Alex has said all along, Matt, that he would approach Aaron Hill about moving to third base if he was getting an all-star caliber second baseman. In other words, you're not going to ask Aaron Hill to move for some guy who's spent 9 years in AAA. But, I mean, if you're getting a guy who, you know, is an established second baseman,
Dan Uggla would have done it. Dan Uggla would have moved Aaron Hill to third base.
And that is a name the Jays worked hard to get Dan Uggla.
And they almost got him.
They almost got him. And he would have, that's when you would have seen Aaron Hill move to third base. As for a closer, I got no clue.
It's not going to be Rafael Soriano, though. I'll tell you that right now. I know he's still out there, and he's the big name, and he's a guy that a lot of Blue Jays fans want to get. This guy, and I haven't looked it up, but if I remember correctly, has had two healthy seasons in about a 9-year major league career. You don't want to dangle a multi-year contract anywhere near this
Here's the thing. I don't know. I'm going to throw out a name. I don't know if the guy signed or not, but I think John Rauch might be in the picture. I don't know. Is he signed?
He's not signed. Jesse Crane signed, but not John Rauch.
John Rauch.
I really want to call him John Rauch.
I know.
That's a way better name.
It is. But he's a guy I would keep an eye on because a lot of the people Alex has surrounded himself with have been Washington Nationals people, and John was with the Washington Nationals. In fact, John goes back to the last year of the Montreal Expos, and Alex would know him from there. And he's a guy that might fit what they're looking for.
Yeah, he's you know, another Kevin Gregg, although he tends to throw strikes a little bit more often.
Yeah, and you do not ever want to cross him.
Really?
You do not.
All right, I'll keep that in mind. By the way, three healthy seasons in a nine-year career for Rafael Soriano. There's a reason it has taken him 9 years to become a free agent to work up 6 years of big league service.
Yeah, if he wants to come for a year and an option or something like that, I'd do it. But this guy, I think, is looking for three.
Absolutely.
Maybe 4 years.
And, he's coming off that year that he had last year. And, you know, he led the major leagues in saves or the American League. And I know a lot of Blue Jays fans want him. He's not the right guy.
Yeah, I'm...
Just like Adrian Beltre. He's not the right guy. Adrian Beltre has had two good years in his career, and they've both been walk years.
And Adrian Beltre wants 7 years, 6 years, or 5 years. He wants 5 years minimum, and you don't give it to him. We got Dan and Welland. We're going to go to you very quickly. We've got some other callers coming. So Dan and Welland, you're on with Jeff Blair and Mike Wilner.
Nice to have an opportunity to talk to both of you. I appreciate it. My concern is with the catching situation. If Aaron Sevilla can't play and the team realizes that about a month into the season, then you have Molina as your everyday catcher, and you're going to have to try and go out and acquire a catcher to play every day. So that's my biggest concern right now.
Well, I mean, the concern is obviously with any rookie, is he gonna work out? And a lot of them don't. But you know what? You've got Brian Girolamo down there who you could give a shot to. They signed Ryan Buddy as a major league free agent who's going to do some work in Las Vegas, who you could come bring up to be a little bit of a stopgap. But I don't see the utility in signing a guy to whom you're going to have to promise full-time work if you want somebody else to get the full-time work.
Yeah, I like the fact that they're... I want to see this year. I want to see what J.P. Aaron Sevilla is. Even if he crashes out, I'd rather see it this year. I'd rather know what I have. If I'm halfway through the year, I want to get a sense of what I have with J.P. Aaron Sevilla. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Mike Wilner sitting in with Jeff Blair for the next half hour. We'll take your calls about the Blue Jays and any baseball-related topic, in fact.
Prices like no other. From a club like no other. The Fan Club. Join online at fan590.com. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Toronto Sports Radio. The Fan 590.
We are back. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Favorite Aerosmith song?
This is your favorite Aerosmith song? My favorite Aerosmith song?
Mine is Rats in the Cellar.
Mine is Walk This Way with Run DMC.
Yeah, figures. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. The man with crappy music taste, Mike Wilner, is to my left.
I could say love in an elevator.
God. I mean, they stopped being... See, they stopped being Aerosmith by this point.
No, they stopped being Aerosmith after that when they started doing the crazy and all that.
Yeah, but Rats in the Cellar was when they were all on drugs and stuff. That's when they were Aerosmith. We are taking your Blue Jays and baseball calls. Mike Wilner, the third man in the booth, is with me. And Mike in Toronto, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to understand why the Jays are putting Bautista at third. He's the very good defensively at right field.
Ask Mr. Wilner, because I don't want him at third. I want him in right field.
Because they have Rajay Davis. And really, there's no point in having Rajay Davis if you're not going to give him a shot to play. This is a guy who I believe will break the Blue Jays single-season stolen base record this year, and that may even be as a nine-hole hitter.
Wow. But
2 years ago, he had a terrific 2009. He's a guy who's a weapon like something the Jays haven't had in this century, and I think that they want him to play and that he's going to play the outfield. And since he's going to play the outfield, So is Travis Snyder, and so is Vernon Wells. That only leaves one spot for Jose Bautista, and that's third base.
Yeah, and two more things. And why did we sign Corey Patterson, and why the hell did we sign Encarnacion?
Corey Patterson's just minor league depth.
Yeah,
no?
Corey Patterson is this year's Joey Gathright. That's right. He may be playing in Las Vegas. He could be playing in Japan. I would think if he's with the Blue Jays, you've got some serious issues. Somebody's been hurt. Now, as far as Edwin Encarnacion goes, I mean, whatever. Another bat.
This is, you know? Edwin Encarnacion reminds me a little bit, and you were there then, when the Blue Jays picked up Doug Davis on waivers. Remember J.P. Ricciardi's great quote? We're not doing backflips over this guy.
That's right.
And that's the same thing about Edwin Encarnacion. They weren't doing backflips over him. They were, in fact, forced to take him in the Scott Rolen trade. They didn't want him. But you get him for half price. You saw the fact that he hit 10 home runs in 7 games last year. If he doesn't have to worry about putting people down the first baseline in the hospital on a daily basis, maybe he could just sit there, concentrate on his hitting. Look, the guy's a year younger than Aaron Hill. He's got more home runs than Aaron Hill. He's got a better career OPS than Aaron Hill. He's useless as a third baseman, but as a bat, he might be something.
Yeah, he is a playable bat, I guess is the best way to put it. Patton Brampton, or is that an unplayable bat? No. Anyhow, hey. Patton Brampton, you're on the Fan 590.
How you doing today?
Good.
Two things. I wanted you guys or Mike to talk about all the players that they just picked up. Like, well, Corey Patterson, you just discussed.
I want to hear Mike talk about all six of those guys,
too.
I have
no opinion on Mike Hinckley and Winston Abreu, I will tell you that.
Okay. One other thing that's always puzzled me, Mike, maybe you can explain this. When the ball is hit in the play and it goes through the dirt at third base or through the mound, they never change the ball out. Why do they change the ball out when the pitcher throws it into
when
the dirt?
When did this I got to ask Blair, because Blair's covered baseball a lot longer than me. I remember George Bell, any ball that touched the dirt, he would immediately have thrown out of play, but he was the only one who did that. Now, anything that touches anything is immediately thrown out, but the caller's right. Balls off the wall, balls off the dirt, balls off the track, those stay in play.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I still believe. Frankly, isn't the pitcher's call ultimately?
He can throw out any ball that he wants.
Yeah,
Jim Palmer used to do that all the time.
Exactly. But I have no idea. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's a surplus of balls. Nathan in Toronto, you're on the Fan 590.
Did you want me to talk about the six guys?
No, I don't care about the six guys.
Brian Stokes, the only one who might make the team.
Yes, Nathan in Toronto, you're on the Fan 590.
Hey guys, look at that Lowry trade. To me, it looks like it's a slap in the face to the current Blue Jays roster, because it's basically telling them you guys are not good enough to compete, because this guy's going to come up in 2-3 years and he might make an impact. And Vernon Wells, Jose Bautista, these guys are not getting any younger. And to me, I don't understand the trade, because if you look at the Blue Jays' philosophy, it's always been pitching. And look at what the Red Sox did. They got 2 bats this year. So if you're going to win, if you want to spend money, you can always pick up bats in the free agent market.
The caller does make a point.
He's angry.
There's a disconnect. I mean, Vernon is in his prime or he's about to decline. Same with Bautista. You guys are not getting any younger, and it's just a disconnect. If you're going to tell the fans you're going to spend money, then why would you trade Markham? Doesn't make sense.
You know what? I will tell you this. I am a big believer that one of the things a general manager has to do is clear the track if he thinks there's a guy behind who needs to be in the majors right away. I'm beginning to think that...
You think it's Zach Stewart? You think that's who they're making room for?
I'm beginning to think that they just feel, you know what, we've got 2 guys, Stewart and Drabe, we've got 2 guys we want pitching the majors next year.
You may well be right. And you know what, I love Sean Markham. The guy is a competitor, the guy is a phenomenal athlete, he's a terrific pitcher, he's got the best changeup, I think, in the major leagues. But people need, don't take this the wrong way.
I won't.
Sean Markham has pitched over 160 innings exactly once in his major league career. He's coming off surgery 2 years ago. He's had 1 year where he's made more than 25 starts in a season. This isn't Roy Halladay that they traded. And when you look down the list of stuff on this team, you know, you look at Bulldog, competitive, whatever, he's at the top. You look at Stuff, he's 4th. behind Morrow and Romero and Cecil. And he's behind, probably behind Drabek, too.
In Ross stuff, I would think so.
And, you know, the caller makes the point about how the Blue Jays have built up so much pitching. That's the reason that they were able to have a guy like Sean Markham available. And the point that Alex Anthopoulos makes, I believe, is true. When Brett Laurie reaches his potential, if Brett Laurie reaches his potential, he then becomes impossible to acquire. If you want to get the high-ceiling guys, this is when you have to get them, and that's what you have to give up. When's the last time we saw a trade where a team gave up its number one prospect? All these big names that have moved, when do they give up their number one prospect?
They're usually untouchable. Right. I mean, they really are. They really are. Jake in Toronto, you're on the Fan 590.
Hey, guys. I love it. 3 days before Christmas, and we're talking to Mr. Baseball Jeff Blair and the voice of summer, Mike Wilner.
The voice of summer,
huh?
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, I used to read you in the Winnipeg Free Press writing about the Blue Bombers, so I'm glad you have the mid-morning show. I love it.
Thank you.
Go Freep.
My question is, the recent signing of Cliff Lee to the Phillies for $120 million, and the talk was how he left $30 million on the table. And you think about it, and you go, you know, at what point with salaries being at, I mean, $120 million, he didn't accept any pauper's fee, that's for sure. And do you see this as an anomaly because Cliff Lee wanted to go to Philadelphia so bad? Or is this something where more and more players may opt for not the top dollar because of desirability of location or what their family wants or a chance to win? You know, where the Yankees simply putting the most on the table may not matter as much? Or was this a one-off just with Cliff Lee's circumstance?
Before you answer that, can we just clear the air? He left $10.5 million on the table. I know some people are saying 30.
Guaranteed.
Some people are saying 50.
Yeah.
It was a guaranteed 28, but these vesting options were so reachable. You know, he's going to get another 18. So he would have got 137.5 from the Phillies. He's going to get 137.5 from the Phillies. He would have got 148 from the Yankees, but with an extra year.
Yeah.
So he left a year and $11 million on the table. Not such a great sacrifice.
You know what I think is interesting here, and I had someone point this out to me last season. I mean, the common thing, and it is conventional wisdom, it's absolutely accurate. The Players Association likes to have big-name free agents sign for as much money and as long as they can because there's a trickle-down effect when it comes to other players' contracts, to arbitration. I mean, it just does. It sets the bar, and if someone reaches the bar, I mean, it only makes sense that the bar is higher, it's harder to reach, all that good stuff. However, last year I can remember having a discussion with an agent who told me the Players Association is different now. Donald Fear's not there. Gene Orz is not there anymore. Mike Wiener's the guy running the show. Why is
he
that?
He works Christmas.
Oh, God. Mike Wiener's the guy running the show. I really think that maybe there is there's been a fundamental change in how those contracts are viewed by the Players Association. It's made it a lot easier for guys. But I mean, are we going to see a bunch of guys leave money on the table? No.
Well, didn't somebody else do that too this winter? And I can't remember. I don't think it was Carl Crawford, but somebody else left a whack of money on the table too. But I think it's up to the players. Yeah. And I think it's very distasteful for the in the old ways where Don Fear said, no, don't sign somewhere you want for $20 million less. Go where the money is to help out your brethren in the Players Association. You're a free agent. It should mean you're free to make whatever decision you want to do. And it seems like that's swinging around now.
Jason in Toronto, you're on the Fan 590 with Mike Wilner and Jeff Blair.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Mike, I wanted to get your opinion on the Markham deal. I am perplexed as heck. It seems to me that it looks like it has the makings of what appeared to be a bigger deal that just didn't go the way Anthopoulos wanted to. What I'm thinking is that they tried to get Lowry over here and package Snyder together in order to take Greinke, but at the last minute Greinke said, you know what, I don't want to pitch for the Jays. I'm just don't understand why Anthopoulos would trade away our number one starter. I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
Okay. First of all, the Jays, as we know now, never got far enough down the road with the Royals to even exchange names. So they knew Kansas City was interested in Brett Laurie, but they have also been very interested in Brett Laurie for a couple of years. The notion of Sean Markham as the number one starter, yes, he started on opening day last year, but the top four, you could flip a coin, and we talked about that all season long last year between Markham and Romero and Cecil and Morrow. Honestly, you could flip a coin between the four of them to pick. So, you know, as much as the Jays traded their opening day starter, they may also have traded their number four starter. And I think that when you're on the track that the Blue Jays are on, and you have a young player that you really, really, really want, sometimes you got to pay the price.
I want to get to Gary in Mississauga because he brings up an interesting name for DH. Gary, you're on with Mike Wilner, Jeff Blair.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, sir. Make it quick.
Just very quickly, I wasn't a fan of the Markham trade. Secondly, what do you guys think about Derek Lee coming here to be either a part-time first baseman or a full-time DH, depending on his health? And lastly, I'm hearing that David Bush was cut loose by the Milwaukee Brewers. What do you guys think about just picking him up, just taking a quick flyer on him? I know we had him here before, maybe just adding some depth because Alex talks so much about depth. Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too.
If Dave Bush wants to sign a minor league contract with an invite to spring training, I'm all for it. I mean, he couldn't pitch in the AL Central 5 years ago, and I don't know why he would be able to do it now.
Yeah.
Nice guy, though.
Yes.
As far as Derek Lee goes, can you bring Derek Lee, who's actually an accomplished defensive first baseman, and tell him the DH behind Adam Lind?
I don't think he can.
I don't think he can either. And he wants a 3-year deal.
He wants a 3-year deal, and my understanding is with Derek Lee in the past, at least, he's got pretty specific regional, he wants California. He's got pretty specific teams he wants to go to. Mike, I enjoyed this. Happy holidays. We'll look forward to your work.
Thank
we'll
you. I know you'll again. Be tuning in. We will.
I will.
This
we'll
again.
Do this
I'll
again.
I'll be hosting on the 28th, 29th, and 30th.
This show?
Your show on the 29th.
Take care of it.
Brady's show on the 30th. It's going to
be
the first
gentle.
Time I've been on the Greg Brady show.
Be gentle with it. Be gentle with it.
You have to send me a topic for phone.
Oh, I'll figure something. All I'll right. figure something out. Thanks a lot, Mike Wilner. Hockey Central just around the corner. Kiprios wearing his toque. Very nice.